G'day everyone, and welcome to another episode of Free Kick, the official AFLW podcast. My name is Will, and I'm very excited to be talking the Carlton Blues today. With me, I have Jono. How are you going, Jono?
I have to say, I'm feeling a little bit of the blues myself. I've got a little bit of a cold, so apologies to the listeners. But I'm very excited that we're going to be pushing through to talk about the Carlton Blues today, because it's a very interesting place for this team to be. It looks like, you know, their list is just in a strange place. It's not a team that I feel like I've understood before, which is why I was really keen to do this episode today. And it's been interesting to dig into where they're at in their overall rebuild, I suppose you could call this.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a fascinating team. So why don't we just jump straight into it? Jono, can you give us a little bit of a rundown on how Carlton went last year?
Yeah, so last year it was a bit of a middling year yet again for Carlton. They had 4 wins and 7 losses to finish in 14th overall. It was the second year of coach Matthew Buck's tenure. And I think the game plan that they're trying to bring in is a lot easier to see now. It's a very contested game, and it's trying to get that fast, slick handballing movement, which you could really see. It impressed in wins over Geelong in the wet early on in the season. And they also managed to knock over eventual finalists in Fremantle, while also, you know, topping Collingwood and Gold Coast in quite low-scoring affairs. The problem that they had, I suppose, was in every other game of the season, they were soundly beaten. So, you know, if you look at their wins, you know, on average it was about an 8.3 margin of victory. 3 of the games were within a goal. But when they lost, I think it was on average 42.7 point losses. Oof. This is, you know, absolutely smashed in those ones. So you end up with a net result of a percentage of 50, which was the second lowest across the entire league. Now, I think when you look into why this was happening, you know, I'm looking at two different sides of it. They were very consistent on the scoring output. It was generally quite low and in that 20s to 30s range. So I think that's one area they're going to be looking at this year. And it meant that all of their games were won and lost on defense. So basically, if they managed to keep their opponents to a very low score, they could win. But if they weren't there, you know, it just really blew out. And I think Kez Peterson has never been more important. You can see, you know, she had a injury-interrupted preseason, and in that first game against the Hawks, limited time on ground. But in her 2 games as the experienced general of that backline, managed to help them to wins over Gold Coast and Geelong. In her next game against Richmond, she goes down in the first quarter injured. She misses several weeks where the Carlton Blues lose every single game. And then she returned to play Frio, managed to get over the line there, and they finished the season 2-2 in those last 4 games.
And I think this is a great time to talk about the ins and outs for Carlton, because Kez Peterson is, on a technicality, an out this year.
She is. They've had a little bit of movement. So, you know, if we look at some of the outs that have happened, you've had the retirements of Jess Dalpos, who's been a bit of a stalwart for the club, and Celine Moody, who'd only really joined the list recently. You've had some delistings of Mariana Anthony, Lulu Beattie, Jade Halfpenny, Jen Lawson-Tavin, Taylor Ortlep, and Talia Reid. And then Kez Peterson isn't the only inactive player on the list this year, but Tani Brown is also going to miss the 2025 season. So some big names there, but I think they've done really, really well on the ins. So they've picked up 3 Irish players in Ash Reedy, Schieffer O'Connell, and Maria Cannon coming across from Ireland. I assume they're still over there at the moment, but hopefully it'll be interesting to see them come in early in the season.
Also, can I just say, Maria Cannon, what a name.
Definitely a top five name in the league. And they've also landed a big fish for their forward line in Tara Bahana, who is an absolute gun of a key forward.
Yeah, one of our very original interviewees as well. Very good.
And then on the draft front, they did very, very well. They had... they knew they had a father-daughter pick in Sophie Mackay, who I think they were expecting to use their first-round pick on, but somehow she slipped all the way out to pick 17. So they managed to grab Poppy Schultz with pick 6 in the draft, who's an excellent-looking key defender, and then Lulu Field at 46, who's also a key defender. And then they've also grabbed some, I suppose, some other replacement supplementary players in Eliza Wood from the Carlton VFLW side, and Madison Torpy, who comes from the Southern Saints and Box Hill.
Yeah, some really fascinating list changes there. Look, there's plenty of goss we can talk about with Carlton, but as always, we love to get it straight from the club, and we have no one better than midfielder Lily Goss. So I'll now throw it over to Liam for another fantastic interview.
Thanks for that throw, guys. Yes, I am very, very lucky to be joined today by midfielder from Carlton, Lily Goss. Lily, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you. Now, just for those of you, for those of our listeners who don't know, could you give us like the quick cliff notes on how you've ended up at Carlton this year?
This year? Well,
just
luckily,
kind of
I
up to your, up your career, your career to date.
Yes. Well, kind of a strange avenue to AFLW, but one that I'm very proud of. Graduated high school, played in the VAFA for 3 years for Old Scotch, progressed my career to Carlton VFLW, where I was really, really lucky to play a full season there in 2022. And off the back of that season, I got picked up by the AFLW in that double header when the season or the league was expanding. So I got picked up at the end of 2022 and I've managed to keep my spot ever since, which I'm really proud of. So, yeah.
And am I right in thinking that you would go along on a short list of players who coached one of their now teammates and vice captain prior to being on the list?
I will say that is my claim to fame. I did coach Mimi Hill at school, and then she played with me when she was 16 in the senior VAFA team. So I feel like we've got a long history there, but I'll take a little bit of credit. But no, she's done all her leadership on her own, and she's such an amazing player.
Absolutely. Take that credit and run with it. I can't imagine that list is very long of people that have coached their future vice captain before they've even made the list. It's extremely, it's extremely impressive. Kind of you've now kind of been on the list as this Carlton team kind of transitioned from one of their foundation clubs to a younger midfield. You're going into the third season with Matthew as coach. Having now been along for that process, are you noticing that there's any change in the messaging coming from the coaching staff this year, or is it just a constant improvement process and applying the same things that you've been applying for the first two seasons under Bucky?
Yeah, no, I don't think we're necessarily changing the messaging and how we want to attack the game. I think it's now improving on what we've been doing to make sure we can turn those games into successful wins and be consistent throughout the season. So I think it's more development on the messaging and developing our game plan to be able to attack those games more broadly. But no, the messaging is still very similar. But how do we adapt that a bit more?
And I like kind of going back through Carlton's season last season, I thought that there were some pretty spectacular wins in trying conditions, particularly the Geelong and Fremantle games. Is it a situation where there are certain touch points in those games that you're trying to draw and apply to the rest of the season? And kind of, because to my eye, at least, it looked like when the weather conditions were tougher or when the chips were kind of down, you guys really were able to play a pretty smothering defence and use the secondary stoppage game to get wins. Is that something that will be looked to apply in every game this year, or is it a match-to-match approach?
Yeah, I think we'll always take that match-to-match approach in the sense that we do have to really respect the opposition we have. But I think for us, playing assertive, playing brave and having confidence and belief in ourselves is something we really need to continue to go after, because we can't just be internal when we think we've got a game won or when we think we're the underdog, then come out and play. I think we really showed our hand that we are a really aggressive team when we want to be, and we can achieve that, especially with that Geelong and Fremantle game, like you said, when we're the underdogs. But being able to transition that to the next game or the ones where we think we should win, making sure we can keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah, 100%. And it certainly looked that to be that way. I just remember watching that Geelong game and you guys so clearly knew how to navigate the windier conditions at Icon Park, and Geelong just seemingly kind of threw their entire game plan out with the bathwater. And I also just wanted to have a quick chat with you about the midfield grouping this year. It seems that every year we get a breakout from the Carlton midfield group. is there someone that you're going to pick this year to really push through, or is it going to be a pretty similar mix of players through there? Are we going to see another Mackay running through the midfield? How is that all going to look this year?
Oh, I definitely keep my eyes out on Soph when she comes in. But I think from a mid perspective, Ronnie Fitzpatrick, I mean, we saw her 2 years ago prior to her ACL, but she's come back and trained her absolute bum off. She's looking so fit, so fast, and her kind of Irish skills are coming out in full force in the AFL landscape. So I think she'll be someone that I'm really, really excited to see play and also play alongside.
Yeah, she is someone that I was disappointed. I think we were all disappointed to miss last year. I think her and Neve McLaughlin, and I don't want to, you know, use some tropes here from Gold Coast, so have a way to attack stoppages that they just look. I personally just think some of the Irish players look to solve problems differently when you get into a stoppage situation. So that's a fascinating name to throw out there, and one that, yeah, I'm absolutely keen to see. Another player that I just wanted to quickly ask you about, because her role did change apparently, like seemingly week to week, is Mads Geeren. Plays forward, looks great. Plays in the midfield, looks great. If you would have to say, you know, we were playing round one tomorrow, where would she be playing? Is she going to be a midfielder or a forward?
Oh, it's hard to say right now, though, because we've got so many kind of people who can play in those dynamic positions, both forward and mid. And as a mid myself, often you look for that break and that kind of, how can you put damage on the scoreboard up forward when you're kind of rotating through? So it depends what we need at that certain time, because we all know she's such a powerful player and her game plan can either kick 60, kick goal, or can burst out a stoppage. So I think it really depends on what we need at that time, to be honest. But it could go either way.
That is a perfect dead bat response. Let that one slide through to the keeper. I completely understand, though. I feel like she had massively impactful games in both roles. It's not an outrageous response.
No, and it honestly, I don't know, because it depends who we have in at that time and what asset we need from her. So she knows she can bring both.
100%. And we can also talk about another player, and kind of already mentioned her, is Mimi Hill. She is someone who was more off a halfback last year, but then still had some games where she was a centre bounce midfielder and then looking to transition behind the ball. Given the kind of experience gap that's now been opened up in defence, given that KP is missing the season, are we expecting her to be a more full-time halfback general, or are we still going to see that kind of rotation to the midfield?
I think we'll definitely see that rotation to the midfield, because her acceleration and her ball use is something that I think we can't match necessarily anywhere else. And now that we have Harriet, who's stepping up into that leadership capacity, we know we have that general down there who can really talk through those up and coming backs. So I don't think we've really lost that leadership piece, but obviously Kez is a massive part. But I think where everyone is stepping up into those roles that now need to be filled. But Mim will definitely kind of transition where she can.
I would just like it known that I was not, that was not a slight on Harriet Cordner. We're massive fans here on the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Eggs is the nick. Ego.
Eggsy. Yes.
Big time fans. I'm not suggesting that she can't fill the KP role. It's more just undeniable that losing KP for the season is going to be something that the club is going to have to obviously rally around. I also, you kind of mentioned it perfectly, which is, you know, there are probably going to be some younger key position defenders rolling through the defense this year. I wanted to know, kind of, is it going to be a situation where it's going to be filled by one of the, like someone like a Maddie Hendry or Yaz Dersma looking to play that key role? Or is it going to be someone like Poppy Schultz, who was taken in the draft? We've kind of seen how athletic and supremely talented her older sister is as a ruck. Are we going to see a similar kind of breakout early on from Poppy?
Well, in all honesty, I think our draftees have shown absolute great training the last few months with Lulu and Poppy, both of them who I think could roll through the back line if they're needed. But their skills and their acceleration and their decision-making at such a young age is something that I love to see. And their confidence in the way they play with ball in hand, I think everyone would have confidence in them to play those key positions. Yaz especially, we all know how she can play. Those family genes absolutely do her wonders. And she's really proving herself in this off-season to pre-season, coming off an injury last year. So I think we can keep our eyes open for that too. But also someone I'm really excited to see come into the mix is Shifra, who one of our Irish girls who's just come on, got off the plane and is now getting in the mix of it. I think she's someone I reckon will really try and mold into that role.
That's that was going to be my next question. You know, it's already been a great wishing well. I haven't shown you these questions. You've done well to predict it. You've already had Dana Finn come in. You already talked about Ronnie Fitzpatrick. Now you've got Aisling Reedy, Shifra O'Connell, and Maria Cannon. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to say, like, oh, how have they looked at training? Because to be perfectly honest with a lot of these Irish players, I don't know when they're going to be arriving at training. But that also hasn't appeared to hold many of them back. I don't know if you know this, but once Vicky Wall got off a flight, had one training session, and then played in the preseason match, it sounds like Shifra is basically done the same thing at preseason. Have you seen kind of much from the other two, and do you know what positions they might be playing in, or is it going to be a bit of an unknown we might find out later in the preseason?
I think still a bit of an unknown, but Shifra has been as known from the back line and Aisling as a midfielder in the Gaelic football. So I think those transitions might be somewhat seamless, but yes, only been a week here in Melbourne, so we're not expecting them to do amazing things, but their ability to pick up the game and learn is unbelievable. The way they run, like Ronnie and Dana, the way they can move and anticipate is something I think we can really use. Same with Maria. She's been here for a few months and just absolutely picked it up. Her skills are being redefined and it's amazing to see. So I think all of them will be an asset to us, but I just can't wait for them to develop for the rest of the preseason.
That's very exciting. And you've already kind of mentioned it, but Lulu Fielder, I was watching some of her highlights from under 18s. Is she someone that's going to look to play similarly to a Gab Pound, looking to be that small medium defender who uses the ball kind of very efficiently? And is she someone that, you know, if you're going to pick a defender to play around one, would she be kind of in the mix?
She's definitely, yeah, I think that's a good comparison to Gab, playing with that aggressive style from the back line. Her ball use is unbelievable. Her kick on her is, you know, perfect for us. Like the way she can transition and hit those open kicks and the midfielders who are making that run is great. And coming off the back line to really attack it is awesome. I really hope if she continues to train like she is, she'll definitely be a shoo-in to be up for selection. So we'll wait and see, really.
That's going to be very, very exciting. Now, I couldn't go through this interview without talking about another favourite of the podcast, and that's Tara Bohana. How has it been kind of getting such a kind of impactful player joining a forward group that probably kind of lacked a talismanic tool in the last few seasons? Is she going to make an impact straight away for you guys? What's it been like having her around the club?
Oh, she's been great. Kind of a breath of fresh air, to be honest. Having such a wise head come into a program that I think needed some external reflecting, I guess. She can come in with those new eyes, new brain, and put her stamp on that forward group. Obviously, we are such a young team across the board and we haven't really been able to make that impact on the scoreboard in games. So having someone who can kind of work with the other forwards, work off Jess Dalpos as our forward coach now. So those two brains in it together will be such a fascinating combination. And working with, you know, Mia Austin, those two, like kind of mentoring her, I think will be such a great process for our future. And then coming into the leadership group, I think is just a stamp on who she is as a person and a player. Like she can bring in a new thought process, a new opinion on our system, and hopefully just, you know, take us to that next level. I'm very excited. I'm so glad she's here.
Yeah, look, and for some background for your benefit, is we interviewed her going into her second season at Gold Coast before she'd found out that she was going to be captain in just her second season. And yeah, that extremely kind of that knowledge, that there's a calmness to the way that she talks about football that is so evident. And like, I think that if I was going to pick a player that might become that type of forward, Mia Austin would absolutely be the one. So she was going to be one player that I was going to ask you about. I think we've all seen those games and those moments. Is it just a question, much like this Carlton team, about consistency now? Because we know that she's got that ceiling, that capability.
Definitely. And I think that ceiling is never too great. I think all of us are at that point where we know what we're capable of as a team. It's just how do we really get there and stay there? Like, we can't just ebb and flow as we go through a season, have those two great, amazing games, and then drop back to what we've seen previously. And same with those individuals performing. It's like, how do you get that, reach that ceiling and then keep pushing it? Because we know we're all capable, especially Mia. Her athleticism and her ability to attack that ball and be that key forward is amazing. But how do we get there and stay there?
Yeah. And I'm going to get towards the end of a Carlton interview. I'd be remiss to not ask about the rucks, about constant excellence. You've got Jess Good. You've got Bree. How is it as a midfielder being in the position where you've just constantly got such great use? And also, how's Madison Torpy looking? Someone I was really hot on as a potential draft prospect.
Well, Torpy now has two of the best rucks in the competition to mentor her. So I'm in awe of her and how she's going to go about that. But as a midfielder, you got to just be grateful for the fact that often you have that dominance and you have two of the most amazing people here hitting you the ball every single stoppage or it's in a bounce, because they can dictate play for us and we try and work the best we can with them to really create for our team. So it's fantastic, to be honest. It's really great having those two in there to lead us.
Absolutely. And speaking of fantastic, you've been a fantastic interview so far, but I must end this with the question of who is going to be the breakout for Carlton this season?
I reckon everyone's got to keep their eyes on Soph McKay. To be honest, she's an outstanding player, outstanding person. She's got a big sister leading her out in the field, and I think she's going to show wonderful things.
Look, that is absolutely excellent, Lily. Thank you so much for your time. We hope you guys have an excellent season, and we'll be watching for you on the field this year.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Oh, that was an absolute cracker of an interview, I reckon. That was one of the best Liam's done. What were your takeaways from that one, Jono?
Oh, I mean, firstly, Lily speaks very, very well. It was fascinating. I really love some of the chats about their defense, because it sounds like there's going to be a lot of change coming this season.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I quite liked is the fact that she's a former coach of Mimi Hill and now a teammate. That was quite humorous as well. But yeah, there's plenty of super interesting players to talk about from a fantasy perspective. So let's jump straight in. Jono, who's your number one?
Yeah, so number one pick, I think, has to be who Lily mentioned right at the end there, Soph McKay. So absolute jet. We've just talked about how she was pick 17 in the draft and definitely slipped a lot further before I think Geelong was the team that ended up bidding on it. But at the junior level, fantasy gun. She averaged 97 in the AFLW under 18 championships, playing in a bit of a mixed role, a lot of midfield time, but also some time forward. Ended up with 24 touches per game on average. And I think she's so clean and explosive out of stoppage. So I think she's going to be a really good mix to that contested Carlton midfield. To start with, I'd probably expect her to start in the forward line, which is not ideal for our mid rookies. But I think as a slow burn, she's one who's going to rack up a lot of the footy across the season.
Well, we do love a Carlton forward turned midfielder in the fantasy. So even if it's not this year, Soph McKay sounds like she's going to be a jet for the future.
Yeah, 100%. And for number two, I guess I've actually just thrown in some more rookies, because I do think these draftees are definitely going to be in the side from the sounds of it. I've popped Poppy Schultz and Lulu Field together, because I think as young key defenders, at least one of them is going to have to jump straight into that best 21. We've talked about how the Blues have had a little bit of change in the offseason, with Kez Peterson being inactive for this season. Lawson Tavern was delisted. Halfpenny and Beattie were delisted. I think they've got a lot less defensive options than they previously had. And that's, you know, even after seasons where, you know, end of season 9, Lalawifi was traded out of the side. There's a lot of change going on there. And you can, when you look at their list structure, you can see why. They do have a very old spine and they need to bring in some more young talent. So I really love these picks for them. And I do think they're going to come straight in and be very solid defensive rookies for us.
Yeah, and I think a lot's going to come down to what they need of these players, because Poppy Scholes, we know, is a bit more of a typical key defender. Lulu Field, Lily Goss did say, was probably more of that run and carry type. So Field's probably, to me, the one that stands out as more interesting from a fantasy perspective, I guess. But it really depends on what they need, because with the exception of Harriet Cordner, their only other, I guess, main tall defender was Matty Hendry last year. So Poppy Schultz might be in that team just out of necessity.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely lean towards Field. She averaged mid-70s as a junior in the Coates Talent League. So definitely a bit of value there. And as a lower draft pick, is going to come in a little bit cheaper. So big fan of her, but we'll be keeping an eye out for both of them in the preseason. On to my number three. I think it is the fantasy star of the Carlton Blues, which is Keely Sharar. Very impressive 2024. So she averaged 95, and I think you could really see that she was building nicely throughout the season. She started a little bit slow, but in her last seven games, I think five of them were over 100, and it's really based on that high contested tackling pressure that the Blues bring. They force a very high stoppage game, taking advantage of their two pretty dominant rucks, but it means there's a lot of tackles on offer. I think if she can remove some of the floor scores that she had last year, then she's going to be a very, very handy option for our midfields.
Can't disagree with that.
The only question that I have is that Carlton have a very challenging start. They play Collingwood to start the season, but then Hawks and Brisbane in rounds 2 and 3. So I'm not quite sure if she's a starting option or one that we're kind of targeting after those challenging games. What do you reckon?
Yeah, hard to say. And I think the other question will be the Blues midfield makeup, which is more of a pre-season watch. But yeah, I think she's good enough to score regardless of that fixture.
No, definitely one to watch right at the start of the season. Gab Pound is my number four, priced at 51, but she's had two seasons previously where she's averaged over 60, so I think there's a bit of value there. And the main thing is going to be built off her defensive kick-ins. You know, last year she was the top kick-in taker for the Blues, but the second in a fairly even split was Kez Peterson, who we've talked about being inactive for the season. Does that mean that Pound takes nearly 100% of these kick-ins going forward?
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of see it in the games that Peterson missed last year through injury. It went from, you know, them splitting them to Gab Pound having almost all of them. I mean, she had, I think it was 15 disposals against Brisbane in round 6, and 11 of them were kickouts. So, yeah, I think if she's taking the majority of all of those kickouts, that's basically a free, you know, 8 to 10 kicks a game, potentially, which is huge.
Yeah, and with that tough early fixture, I think that could be one I'm watching very closely, because there could be a lot of behinds scored by the Hawks in particular after those finals. So that'll be an exciting start. And then my last pick is one that I'm not 100% sure where she's going to fit into this Carlton side, but Brooke Vickers missed nearly all of last season with a hamstring. I say nearly, she missed all of last season with hamstring concerns. And she's only going to be priced at 30.3, which is, I mean, this is less than a lot of other midfield rookies. She's going to be very, very cheap. Coming back into the side, she played some games with VFLW side just to start in the last couple months. And then the four games she played, she went 90, 136, 106, and 108. And most of that was playing off a half forward role. So I don't think she's getting in that midfield, obviously. But as an outside player and a very good mark, you know, if she's on that half forward wing line, I think she could put on a lot of money very quickly.
Yeah, I think at that sort of price, if she's in the starting team, even if she's not putting up, you know, 136, she's still a player that's going to make us money. So I think it's a good option that is going to be, basically, does she get into the team to start the year? If so, really good option. So yeah, for the Will special, I've gone for a very similar player, which is a player who's played a bit on the wing, a bit off half forward, former fantasy star in our forward lines, I believe, in 2023, Keely Skepper. So Keely Skepper is a midfielder, priced at 53, which is a bit of an awkward price, but I think the important thing is the previous season, she averaged just shy of 70, so 69.6. She's got a good fantasy ceiling. She can score hundreds, high score of 107 there. Basically, the biggest problem for her last year was her scores just went really good. She had a few 70s and an 80. And she had some absolute stinkers in there as well, a 26. I think that basically just having a consistent role on the wing might be, you know, beneficial. Hopefully with the way their game plan's shaping up, they can get it to the outside a bit more because she's a really good player with ball in hand, good kick, good leg speed. So, yeah, she's a player that has a fair bit of interest for me, still young, still developing, and potentially around 20 points of upside. So definitely one to watch in the preseason.
Yeah, massive, massive talent, Keely Skepper. It's one where I feel like I'm torn between my head and my heart because, you know, I think she's an absolutely gun player and she's got such a great kick. If I was building my game plan, I'd want Keely Skepper the one delivering the ball inside 50. The main concern that I have is I really worry that this game plan is just going too fast and too direct and it's not really getting to the outside of these contests. So I'm curious how that's going to play out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely a preseason watch for me. I think that the price is probably a little bit too awkward as well. But as you say, super talented player. Hopefully we can see the best of her in the upcoming season. All right, well, we might leave it there, but Carlton, super fascinating team, as you said, Jono. Some really interesting options, especially when it comes to the rookies. Had a fantastic draft hand, which will hopefully help out our fantasy budgets. Otherwise, I hope you've enjoyed listening to our Carlton episode. We've got plenty more club previews coming your way, so make sure you're following wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on the socials. I've been Will. Thank you so much for listening to Free Kick. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, have a great one, everyone. Catch you soon.
See ya.